Sister Underwood and his family. There's something about it that when we have people that we know is going to be there when we need them. And I think you sense that. And we've got a wonderful pastor, Brother and Sister Parker, and we've chose to be faithful there. And We don't even, in fact, this is about the third time I preached out from the church there. And but when Brother Underwood called, I felt that I was long overdue thanking him for his kindness to us when Sister Woodward was so sick. And so we wanted to come and take this opportunity. But God works in mysterious ways. We went to Anderson. We was there 6 years. Little over, and Brother Parker was my assistant pastor, and now he doesn't dare treat me wrong, because I was good to him for about five years, a little over, but no, they're just wonderful people, and we teach the Bible class there, and then we preached last Sunday night, and then tonight Brother Bledsoe wanted Brother Parker to come over and entertain them and tell a Christmas story at their Christmas banquet. So we're going to be taking care of the church here tonight. But people worry about getting old. That doesn't need to be, because God makes way for you. Your gift will make room for you too. And you'll find that you don't need near as much money to spend when you retire as you did before. You know, you kind of look at the brand on that and see what the price is on that before you buy it now. And somehow or other, God just allows you to, and God has allowed us to have a lovely home, and we have just got it fixed up real nice and real comfortable, and we're just happy. Brother Cagle used to make a statement, "He's as happy as a dead pig in the sunshine." I don't know whether I've got that happy yet or not, but we're doing fine, and we're enjoying the work of God and enjoying the things that God has given us. And so just keep praying for us. We want to be used of God. We would like for you to turn with us to St. John, the second chapter. And Brother Underwood, when he said that my ministry is unique, there are two things that's unique about my ministry. I don't preach very long. And I probably come out with some things that you don't hear every day. But I hope that I can help you to understand. And I want to ask the question, Brother Underwood, is if I preach like we Pentecostals preach, can your Spanish folks interpret it and pick it up all right? All right. So we'll just go ahead and preach. Amen. Jesus, here in this particular passage of Scripture, he has been talking about his departure and the things it's going to be and his miracle in Canaan and all of that. And then in the 24th verse, Jesus said, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man." Let's read it again, and I think you'll help you with my message if we read it again. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man." Brother Underwood, why don't you ask the blessing on the reading of the word?
Father, we are so thankful.
Praise God.
It's a privilege just to be in your house. Thankful that you've given us good
praise
word,
God.
Direction for our lives. We're thankful, Lord, that Brother Woodward has come to share with us the word of the Lord. We pray a special blessing today upon your word again and upon our hearts and upon this congregation and upon our speaker today, Lord, that the liberty of your spirit come.
Praise God.
Touch his mind today. We give you the praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Let's thank him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach for a little while this morning. A strange text, but I just want to use just the text. Just to be what he knows me to be. All of us have a nature about us. And if you don't believe it to do, you just let a group of people, and you know their names are going to be in the paper, and you know you're one of them, and see whose name you read first. And you take a picture, and you know that your picture is going to be in there. Whose picture do you find first? We all just like to somehow or other, we just like for people to think of us a little bit more highly than sometimes we really are. We had a young man in our church in Grover City, a fine young man, and he was, I thought, really, he was aspiring to the ministry, and I thought he was one of the finest young men I ever knew. And he did something that I didn't like, and I was talking to him about it. And I was talking to him about the danger of what he was doing. And he said, I said, "I know what you're talking about, Brother Woodward. I know what you're talking about." He said, "You see, I'm not as good on the inside as I appear on the outside." And when he said that, there was something began to move in my heart. And I began to see him through the eyes of the Spirit. And then I began to try to deal with him. And I lost that young man. He backslid to the core. He's backslid today if he's still alive. Because somehow or other he didn't realize that God knew what he was on the inside. And I want to be what God really knows me to be. Paul in his writing, he had just been caught up into third heaven. And he was so enthralled with this beautiful experience of vision. And he would like to brag about it. And a lot of us would like to brag about something like that. Ooh, we just laid hands on them. And that was it. They were healed. And we like to brag about things. And Paul would have loved to brag about it. There was something about it that it just itched him to brag about it. But he said, "Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." Because he said, "And now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or what he heareth of me." What Paul was saying, I want to be fruit of the Spirit. And this is Sunday morning, so forgive me if I get a little pastoral. But he said, "I want to be fruit of the Spirit." And when you see that fruit, I don't want you to see the outward part of the Apostle Paul. I want you to see the inward part of me. I want to see what really, really counts in me. and that's Christ shining through me. I don't want you to glory in the fact that I live so close to God that I could interpret and I could shout more than anybody. I could speak in tongues more than anybody. But I want you to see me as the product of God, what God's doing for me. Because God knows what's in man, and He knows exactly who I am, and He knows why that He's going to give me a thorn in the flesh, lest I would be exalted above measure. God knows my makeup. He knows my makeup, and He knows exactly how to keep me true. Paul said in Philippians, the third chapter, and when he was writing, he said, not as though I have already attained, for I was already perfect. I follow after that I may apprehend that which is I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. But I looked in the, I don't usually go too much in the other versions, but the version of one writer, and I have a Bible, it's got seven different versions in it, and so I turned to it. And this is what he said about the Scripture in Philippians 3 and 12. Paul said, I don't mean to say that I'm perfect. I haven't learned all that I should learn yet. But I will keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that God saved me to be and He wants me to be. I'm going to keep working towards that day that I'll finally someday I'll be all that God saved me to be and all that God wants me to be. Somehow or other this morning as I begin to preach and I feel a real need in my heart that I listened to the bragging of Brother Price, and when they introduced him as the greatest man on the earth, the greatest superintendent, and I believe he is the greatest superintendent. But somehow or other, I begin to look back, and Brother Price and I were boy preachers together, and I look back at the years that I've known Brother Price, and I've seen him under pressure. I've seen him blow up a few times at people on the board and really tell young men off that was smart and trying to overrun the board. And I've seen some things in Brother Price, and I've got a feeling that when he hears that, he says to himself, you ought to see me under pressure. You ought to see me working on Price. You ought to see me working on my attitude. You ought to see me working on my dedication. I'm really not anything but what God made me to be. That's all I am. That's all I am. I thought of the story of Gideon, and pardon me for going back to stories, but sometimes those stories are so beautiful. And Gideon was thrashing wheat down by the old mill and scared to death, and the Midianites was about to take him. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared unto Gideon, and he said, "Thy mighty man of valor." Gideon, no doubt, looked around just to see who he was talking about because it didn't fit him at all, not at all. And then God began to talk to Gideon, not as a little scared boy down by the mill. He began to talk to him as a man that he could make him, a man that he could use, a man that he needed by all means. That's really all any of us is today, that just people that's allowed God to put us on the potter's wheel and make us and mold us what we are today. And Gideon began to talk to the angel. And he said, I don't see how that you could say the mighty man of valor. I am the least. I don't know how in the world that you could any way, shape, or form say that about me. I'm nothing. We're the tribe of Manasseh. And not only that, I'm the least in the father's tribe. I really don't. There are some of you maybe here this morning that's got a low esteem of yourself. Some of you young people here this morning may have a low esteem of yourself. I want to serve notice upon you that Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And you're nothing without Christ. You're the least of the tribe of Manasseh. Your self-esteem has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that self-esteem is when you yield yourself to God. And God begins to use you. And God begins to bless you. In the middle 40s, a young, ruddy-faced young man came into our church in Woodlake. The little wife, she'd have to stand twice to make a shadow. And he said, I've got a job out here in the country. And said, I'm going to come here to church. He said, I feel my call to preach. I want to come here and worship with you. It was a home mission work, and oh, we were so glad to have anybody that'd come and help us. And I immediately began to try to use him, and I asked him to preach one night. And he got up and turned red-faced and lasted about 2.5 minutes. And it was so cute the way he said it. He said, that's all I've got to say. Just sit down. He didn't even give me a chance to say, come on, preach on. But he just said, that's all I got to say. And he just sat down. And I left the church with him. And I went to Grover City. And about 3 years later, he called me and said, Brother Woodward, said, I want to come and hold your revival. And I told Sister Woodward, I said, how in the world can we stand L.J. Muncy and that little rapid-fire, 2.5-minute sermon for a 2 weeks revival? And he came, and I asked him to preach. Oh, I just sat back there and wept. As that young man dug into the Scripture and began to preach one of the greatest revivals ever had. As he preached for 2 solid weeks and preached the Word of God, and he became one of our greatest teachers and our camp meeting speakers. But God saw him, just a little ruddy-faced boy, and said, you mighty man of valor, you had to know his parents. His parents was nothing. They were just old chicken farmers out there. And if I'm not mistaken, both of them dipped snuff. But out of that family came a man of God that allowed God to mold him and make him what he ought to be. And God said, I don't need to ask you a word about you. I know you. I know you. And all that I want to be is what God knows me to be. All the other is junk. It's all junk. I can make out like I'm the greatest person in the world. One of our ministers, and brother, I won't call his name, but Brother Underwood will know him probably. But I went to the meeting, and we had him out here to preach for us. And oh, we were just thrilled to death at his preaching because he said that he just decided to go on a fast, and he fasted, and he fasted, and he fasted. He would not even allow his wife to come and see him. He just fasted, and he fasted, and he fasted, and ooh, it sounded so good, you know. And said, all of a sudden, he heard an angel walking down the corridors, and he heard them hitting the floor, and it thrilled me, Brother Andy, it really did. I thought, oh, I need an angel, is what I need. I need an angel. That's what I need. And I need to pray, and I need to get up there at those big meetings and talk about my angel. But when they found out all about him, the angel turned out to be another woman. And his ministry is on the rocks today. His big church that he has on the rocks today. But God knew all about it. I don't know why I'm saying it like I am, but oh, us be honest with God. Oh, Job, I believe that he liked every word God said about him. Have you considered my servant Job? He's the greatest man in all the world. And I believe he liked every bit of it. And when he walked down the street, the young men stood in honor to him. But something inside of Job that didn't tick just right. And we hear a prayer of his. And I wish to God some way that I could always pray that prayer. God, let me be weighed in an even balance, that you may know mine integrity. I thought I knew it, but God, I want you to know it. I want you to know it. I want you to know it. I want to be weighed in an even balance. I want to be weighed in an even balance. I don't want any pride there. I don't want any honor. I don't want anything, God, but all I want is just your approval. And I want you to know mine integrity. I don't pay my tithes this morning so God can reward me fourfold. I pay my tithes because it's the Word of God. And God sent for me to pay my tithes. I don't pray because I want to say, oh, I prayed 2 hours this morning. But I want to pray because it's my communication with God. And I want to feel what God has to say to me. I don't fast because I want to let on like that I'm super duper Christian. And I fast and pray. I fast because God said this kind comes about by prayer and fasting. And I want to do it because God told me to do it.
Yes.
I watched one night in a large meeting, and this man has gone on to his reward. And he said, when we get to singing this chorus, I want everybody out in the aisle, and I want you to be leaping for joy. The Bible said to leap for joy. And he started singing that chorus, and it was a good, fast chorus. And a bunch of them got out there jumping around. One woman, real heavy, busted, jumping around there and lost her balance. And I took my brother, that's not Pentecostal, to that meeting, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden that gal fell over and fell over him, and we was both trying to wrestle her off, and she's wallering all over us. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to dance when God wants me to dance. I'm going to shout when God wants me to shout. When I'm shouting and when I'm dancing, last Sunday night God just turned a bucket of honey in my soul, and I raised my hand and began to talk in tongues and worship God. I hadn't done that since I've been back to Gridley like that. I guess they might all thought I was backslid. I don't know. But I want to do that as unto God. I want God to know that I'm not putting on a show. I want God to know that I'm just dancing and or worshiping God because you told me to and because I want to. I just want to be what God wants me to be and knows me to be. That's what I want to be. Praise the Lord. I like the Apostle Paul. If I had a favorite, he'd be it. But I like the way he says things. He was just musing in Thessalonians there one day in the 4th chapter of Thessalonians. He said, but I was allowed of God. Doesn't that thrill you just to be allowed of God? To put in trust to this ministry. And it just simply thrilled his soul that God would allow it. Because Paul had in his heart a real beautiful feeling in his heart that God was so good to him. He did not put anything on. He was preaching one day and a man just kept staring at him. Kept watching every move he made. Kept looking at him. And all of a sudden, Paul caught the man's eye. And that contact of the Spirit made between them. And he said that he felt that he had faith to be healed. And he just, right in the middle of his sermon, He just cried out to that fella, said, "Stand up on your feet." And that man had been lame for years, jumped on his feet, and I'm sure began to dance in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, this was a turmoil. They began to rush down, and they said, "The gods of Juniper has come down to us. And this one here is this, and that one's that." And Paul said that they would have done sacrifice to him. But Paul, I know he didn't say it, but I believe he thought it. "Oh, I'm just of like passion as you are. You ought to saw me on the road to Damascus. You ought to saw me when I was, that I was such an injurious person. I was such a hateful person. I was hateful and I was hating. You ought to see me there. You're not seeing the real Saul of Tarsus. You're seeing the Paul that Jesus cleansed. You're seeing the Paul that Jesus set free. You're seeing the Paul that Jesus made alive. You're seeing the Paul that Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not seeing Saul of Tarsus." He said, "I was one time injurious, and I served divers lust. I was foolish. I was hateful. Any of you folks identify with that? And I had lots of malice in my life. And I just hated people. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, it wasn't by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and the regenerating and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, who He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul never forgot that. Paul never forgot that. It's why he could say, "I was a lout of God. I was a lout of God." He spoke to Timothy, and he said, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He hath counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious person, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." What a beautiful, beautiful experience that he experienced. Jesus touched a man one time. He said, "Do you see?" And he said, "Well, I see ministries." And Jesus could have said to that man, "Well, at least you see. At least you see." But he touched him again, and he saw men clearly. Brother Baglin called me about a man in his church the other night. And he has a good wife, beautiful wife, and he's a good man, but he thought that he was the only one in the world that was hard up. All the rest of us just had money running out our pockets. And when I gave Brother Baglin the church in Anderson, I said, "He's a good man. He won't do you any harm. He just doesn't do anything. But he doesn't put a dime in the offering at all." And he felt condemned by it because he wouldn't pray like he should. And I talked to him and tried to encourage him. But he just wouldn't. And Brother Baglin called me the other night and said, "You won't believe it. I said, he come to the altar the other night, and he just began to weep before God. And next thing I knew, he was talking in tongues, and he was rolling around on the floor. He said, you never seen anything like this, a big man. He said, you never seen anything like it. Said, I mean to tell you, he really got with it. And I told Brother Baglin, I said, Brother Baglin, I told you that he's a good man. I believe that we need to see the hurts of people. We understand such a little bit about people. I was laying in the hospital after surgery in 1975, and they brought me back to the hospital in Gridley. And I knew the supervisor there real well. I'd done lots of work for her. And she come down to my room and she said, Reverend Woodward said, if you need anything, if you need any typing done, if you need anything, just call me, Nelson, one of my workers down here, and they'll take care of you. Don't worry, I just want you to be comfortable. And that night a little nurse come in, and she was the snottiest little thing. I've never been in the hospital very much, but oh, she was snotty. She was just impossible, to the point that I finally said, get out of here. I don't want you back in here. Just forget I'm in here and go on, because I don't need that. I'm sick. I was running a fever. I had staph disease and staph infection, and I was really sick. And the next night, an elderly nurse came in, and I told her, I said, what was wrong with the little nurse? I said, she was so hateful. I've never seen a nurse. She said, oh, Mr. Woodward said, her home's breaking up, and she's just wild with grief. And I felt so ashamed. I never did get a chance to see her again. I saw her as a tree. I did. I saw her as a tree. I didn't see her fully. If she would have just spoken to me, she knew I was a reverend. But somehow or other, she just couldn't bring herself to unload herself to me. But if she had just said, Reverend Woodward, I'm going through a difficult trial in my life. I'd have reached out my hand, and I took her hand as sick as I was, and I prayed for her. But God wants us to realize that this morning. He touched him, and he saw all men clearly. And somehow or other, I want to know the very thing that God sees in an individual. That might be an L.J. Munsey. That might be a Gideon. It might be somebody that you never dreamed. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was a 3-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. I don't know why God called me. I don't know why God saved me. I tried to quit smoking, and I couldn't quit smoking. I was baptized. I still had the habit of cigarette. I thought I was through with it. But the next day, the devil jumped on me, And I eat a whole pound of weenies. I chewed 3 bags of chewing gum. I eat a whole pound bag of lemon drops. And I still smoked 3 cigarettes that day. And I remember pulling that little old Model A coupe. You kids would love to have that little 30 Model A coupe I courted my wife in. And I pulled it into the curb, and I threw my cigarette out, and I began to cry. I was walking into church, and I said, God, I so much wanted to be a Christian, but it looks like I can't get rid of these crazy old cigarettes. And that night when I went to the altar, I left a puddle of tears, but I also left a habit. And it's almost 52 years ago since I smoked a cigarette. But God knew what was in my heart. Somebody might have judged me and said, oh, you weakling, can't you quit, can't you quit? And somebody that can't believe God for healing, and you weakling, haven't you got any faith? But don't forget, you stand or fall to God. God knows what's in man. He does not need to ask any questions. And all that I want to be, and all that I desire to be, is what he really knows me to be. I want to be what he knows me to be. I wondered this morning, Brother Underwood, if we could stand together. And I'd like to sing that chorus, I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. And I don't know how you close your service, but I feel definitely, Lord, to ask if there's somebody that's bothered, and you just, well, maybe all of us, is, and you just like to come and stand around the altar. No singing is unto God, and we'll turn the service back to Brother Underwood. Live.
Come on, everybody. Let's make our way to the front.
Love to end. There's just no more love. I could never, ever have love.
Let's come with our hands lifted heavenward. I'm going to live. Tremendous word of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and invite the Lord to come and minister to us. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Honest before the Lord. Remove all of the pretense and the facade. Let's take it all away. Let's remove it all. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God knows us anyway. God knows what we are. God knows us. There's no need for us to pretend or to cover. God knows. He knows. He looks down deep inside of your spirit and your heart. Why don't we just open it up to the Lord today? Here I am, God. Come on, everybody, all over this building. Let's open ourselves to the beautiful word of the Lord, the beautiful spirit of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Be honest for a little while before the Lord. Praise God.
There have been times,
hallelujah,
when giving and loving brought pain.
Hallelujah.
And I promised I would never let it happen again.
Hallelujah. Pray for somebody next to you this morning. God has ministered to us in such a beautiful way. Perhaps there's someone around you that are struggling, and just a little bit of concern would be a great benefit to them right now. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.